I know it's up in big letters, so I wouldn't have to use my glasses, but if I'm going to read scripture, I have to have my glasses. So let's start with 1 Corinthians 9, if you will go there with me. First Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation to begin with. It says, everybody there? Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Does yours have an exclamation point in your Bible? Does it have an exclamation? It's you run to win. You run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So run with purpose in every step. I'm not shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. The word there that I'm looking for is disqualified. I don't know if you've ever competed. I have competed in different sports events when I was much, much younger. And the worst thing was to be disqualified or to have a penalty brought on you that should never have happened. I mean, you can, if you're playing basketball and you foul, that happens. But if it's a personal foul or something like that, you don't want those things to happen. I remember Rodney was in Bible quiz when he was little. And there were teams would come from all over to do this Bible quiz. And they would practice and they would practice. And you had to practice to do Bible quiz because, you know, you're sitting on these little pads that have little bumps on them. And as soon as you pick your behind up off those little bumps, your light goes on and you have to stand up and you have to answer the question. And it might have been you only got a couple, three words of the question, but then you have to stand up and you have to answer it. Well, there were times where teams would come and they would get disqualified for whatever reason. And it's disheartening to be disqualified. It really is. So we're on this race, we're on this eternal race, and we don't want to be disqualified. Let me read to you from the Message Bible. It says, you've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. One wins. So run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm staying alert, in top condition. I'm not going to be caught napping and then telling everyone else about it and then missing out myself. Okay, so that's the direction we're going. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss out or be disqualified. I'm so excited about what's going on here at Praise Fellowship. And it's just amazing. He's doing things here and he's going to continue to do things here. And we are going to be amazed. And we need to be excited about that. Can you be excited about that? I don't know what it is about this excitement, and as I go through my own prayer journal, there's this excitement that I see. It's a vein that runs through it that I'm excited about what's going on. And I just want to encourage you with that excitement. And what that excitement will do is it will help to keep you from missing out on what's going on. It really will, because if you're excited, then you have anticipation, do you not? And that anticipation is a motivator. It motivates you to be involved, to not want to miss out. It's kind of like Christmas time. At Christmas time, you know, the presents are underneath there. And if you're a little child, you have to wait. You have to wait for those Christmas presents. And there's an anticipation that builds and an anticipation that builds. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yeah, it's right. I remember. And now the anticipation has changed for me. It's not that I anticipate the gift that I will get. I anticipate the gift that I'm giving. Because I've grown, I've matured. It's not about me anymore. It's what others are going to receive. So I'm just kind of stirring here. Like I told you, I can only take you where I've been. So I'm kind of stirring the pot. You know, when you make stew, you know, it's not hard to keep the lighter elements to the top, but you know, your potatoes, your carrots, you know, they're pretty firm when they go in. And if you don't keep stirring them and you got the fire up hot enough so that they get done, they sink to the bottom, they're going to burn at the bottom. So you want to just keep stirring that pot, okay? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to stir our pot. Now, as I see in my journal there's this vein of excitement that's in there. There's also this desire to spend more time with the Lord. And this excitement will cause you to want to spend more time with Him. That's just, you know, it's got this trickle effect that's happening. And with more time spent with Him, it's amazing how other things fall off. Other things that you put your time to, they fall off. They lose their interest. I don't know how that works. I do know that if you don't stay with it, you lose it. You know, where you think this doesn't matter to you, and then you kind of wane and you don't have your time and you lose some of your excitement. And then some of these things become important again. And I heard one person say, it's the spell of the world. It's the spell of the world. It keeps you distracted. Keeps you distracted, keeps you from not spending time with the Lord, keeps you not in the place that you're supposed to be. So again, I'm encouraging you, you don't want to miss out. You want to be excited. Can you say that with me? I don't want to miss out.
I want to miss out.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So yes, your devotional time, my devotional time has been great. Things have disappeared. And it's wonderful. We all have only so much time, and so we want to use it wisely. Let's see, I want to check my notes here to make sure I'm not missing anything. There are things that are happening in the world, and I'm sure all of you know that, and it's not the same. Let's see, what's the average age here? I bet I'm the average age here. I bet I am. I bet I'm the average age here, and I'm rubbing real close to 50, so, which is a good thing. I like it. I like it. Not afraid of it. I like it. I don't want to miss out on what God is doing in the world. And you go, well, that's really, really big. Well, not really, because we play a part. We have a small part in the world, and we don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on that. I want to fulfill my place. I want to do my part. I want to fulfill my function here in the church, and I want to receive the prizes. I want to receive the rewards that I get. And that's not a self-centered thing. The Lord put the rewards there so you would go for them. He really did. They're an award that He gives you for seeking and pursuing Him. All right? And we do that for our kids. We give them rewards sometimes in the right way. We give them rewards. I get them mixed up. So anyway, just some encouragement there. Take some stock. Let's talk about your devotional life. Okay, I'm gonna poke at you here a little bit. You know, are you spending the time? It's really important for you to spend the time. You are going to become very disheartened if all you see is what goes on in the world. You really will, because what you see in media, what you see in other places, it doesn't help your spirit, man. It really doesn't. I have to be very careful. I'm a very visual person. I'm an auditory person. And I have to be careful what I watch, because fear can grip me like this. It's amazing. And I don't want to walk in fear. I don't want to walk afraid. I don't want to be disappointed about all the different things that are going on, because God really is doing some things, and I think it's important. I think it's really important. So keep up with your reading and your studying. It will help you to understand where things are at. We all have life that we live. Is that not true? You all have life. You all have life. You have jobs that you have to go to. You have things that you have to do. That's life. And life changes, seasons change. I remember the day when it was, you wake up and you go, okay, I can make it through the day. And that was when I had small children and I had daycare as well. And it was consuming. There was one day, I was licensed to do daycare, but there was one day where I had overbooked. I was only licensed for 10 children and I had 17 children in my house. And what had happened was I had one family that brought their children early and I had two families that hadn't gotten there, they were late. So I had 17 children in my house. I had four children inside that were toddlers. Okay, that's two more than what I was licensed to have. Okay, so you've got, what, two, so I have 1.5 to 3-year-olds. I have four of them inside. The rest are all outside, and it's summertime. And before long, thank you, before long, I hear this ruckus going around outside. See, and I have to stay inside with the little ones so that I know what's going on there. But then I have all these children out in the backyard, and I heard this ruckus going on, and I went outside, and here I had two brothers that were just duking it out. Just duking it out. And they grew up in a wrestling family. Their dad was a big wrestler. But they weren't just wrestling. I mean, this was, I'm mad at you, and you're mad at me, and they were duking it out. So I run out there, and I break them apart, and I bring them in, and I set them at the kitchen table, and now they have to watch the other kids play. Can't do anything, can't speak, they just have to sit there. So while I'm dealing with these boys at the table and, you know, this kind of thing going on, all of a sudden I hear this, ah! And Carrie comes running into me. She goes, Mom, Tara just bit Ryan in a bag. So these are my toddlers now. So I run into the living room and here this little girl who her main defensive mechanism was to bite. She had bit this little boy in his back so hard that I could have done imprints. You know, teeth imprints off of the mark that she had left in his back. And he cried and he cried and I picked her up and I sat her on the sofa and I this to her and then she's crying. And so I've got kids that are mad sitting at the dining room table. I've got more kids outside. I've got kids crying in the living room and then all of a sudden I hear this crash. And here, lo and behold, I have a baseball that has just come through my kitchen window. So I run outside and everyone flees. Everyone's gone. You know, they're hiding. And Becky goes, he did it. And it was a young man. I'd only had him a couple of times at the house. And he was just in fear of what I was going to do. And I said, well, I said, we can't do anything about it. You cannot play on this side of the house. You can only play on this side of the house. And then Rodney comes to me. He's been construction working in the sandbox. And he says, Mom, he says, there's cat poop in the sandbox. And I said, okay, nobody can play in the sandbox until I've had time to go through the sandbox. So everybody play over here. It was an hour. It was just 1 hour. And it was complete chaos. It all got resolved because within that hour, the parents came. Oh, I did have, in that same hour, I had a parent come and they were going to pay me and they wanted to argue with me about the fee that they owed me for the amount of daycare that I had done. So it was quite a day. So we all realize we have life, right? Everybody has life. Everybody has things. We all have that. Okay, I'm exhausted from telling you that. But we need to get things in order in our life. Okay, we work, we rest, we play. Some of us need more rest. I'm one that needs more rest. I need about 9 hours to be functioning. So I have to take a nap. But we do need play. We need downtime. I need downtime just like you need downtime. And I use solitaire on the computer. Let me tell you, I'm good. I race the clock. I'm good. But I don't spend too much time there because that can become wasted time. And if you're going to make sure you have time with the Lord and you have time to work and you have time to rest and you have time for your family and yet you have some time to play, you want to really be watching the amount of time that you spend. You don't want to lose time because you don't want to miss out on what God is doing because you can, what's a good word? You can just flutter your time away and you don't want to do that. Okay, can I have some ushers? We're going to, I'm going to challenge you here a little bit to evaluate your time. And I made way too many of these, and they're all different sizes and shapes, but not different colors. And what this is This is a word that the Lord brought to the church on July 26th. And it's a good word. I love words from the Lord. They're not an equivalent to God's word. Okay? They're not an equivalent to this. But they're good because they help steer you and keep you in focus. Okay? And that's what's good about this. I take the words of the Lord and I type them up and I keep them in my prayer journal because I pray over them. And that's really important to do, is to pray over them. Another thing, a lot of times words of the Lord are if-then type things. You know, if you do this, then this will happen. Okay? So you want to take that into consideration, because you can lose if you don't follow the if-thens. Okay? Let's start. You can read along. If you want to take your pen and circle repeating words, that's good. You can do whatever you want with it. Okay? In this day, I am asking you to yield more and more of yourself to me. You sing the words, reign in me, and that is my desire. But it is unable to be done unless you completely yield yourself to me. As you do, the Lord is saying, as you do yield yourself to me, and as I have a greater portion, a greater part, even all of your life, the fruitfulness of that walk with me will abound. Doesn't that sound great? I just love that. You will be surprised at the things that take place. You will be surprised at the words that come to your mind and mouth to speak to other people. They will be my words as your mind and your heart are yielded to me. Even as the word says, submit therefore unto God, resist the devil and he will flee. As you are yielded more and more to me, you will have greater and greater strength in spiritual warfare in resisting the enemy. Whether it be his temptations in your life, whether it be his conflicting with the word of God in your life, whether it be his attempts to kill, steal, or destroy, you will have greater power against the enemy as you yield more and more to me. Doesn't that sound great? Okay, so I'm stirring your pot. I'm saying evaluate, yield more. Okay, let's unhook there for a little bit and let's talk about the church. And we all have different gifts. We all have different parts. And the Lord made it that way so that, I think, so that we wouldn't get prideful and puffed up. But also, there's not one person that can contain all that God wants us to have in a local body, so he shares it. And we like that. I like seeing other gifts developed and used here, especially here at Praise Fellowship. And in Romans 12, it talks about those different gifts. You can look that up later, that you're to use your gift in proportion to your faith. Okay? And your faith will increase the more that you yield to the Lord. It's just exercise. Your faith increases and grows as you exercise it. It really does. Okay? But in Romans 12, it talks about we're to never lack in zeal. We're never to be lacking in zeal. Well, how do you do that? It tells you. It says keeping spiritual fervor by serving the Lord. As you serve him, you'll keep that zeal. It'll keep going. It goes back and forth. It goes back and forth, and it spins around. It's just a wonderful thing. And the thing of it is you don't want to miss out, because if you miss out, then you're behind. You kind of are out of the game about what is going on, and you're not gonna want to experience that. Really, you aren't. You may say, "Well, this is such a small church," and we are a small church. I will share this with you. We took our daughter down to Tulsa. She's going to Rhema Bible Training Center down there. And she took one look at the church and she just went, because it's huge, it's massive. And we took her to a smaller church and she says, "I think I like the smaller church." And I said, "Well, tell me why you kind of like the smaller church." She says, "Everything's taken at the big church." She says, "There's nothing to do at the big church. All the places are taken. There's nothing to do." And she says, "And I want to do something. I don't want to just, you know," she says, "I want to be a part of the youth. And I can't be a part of the youth because they have staff, paid staff that are part of the youth." So you see, there are benefits to being in a small church. There are lots of places you could serve. Lots of places.
My parents go to a small church too. And I just find it amazing. You can go up front and look forward. Everybody behind you. It sounds like so many and so active because everything's being done and stuff, and yeah. everybody's cooperating.
Yep. It's good. So the thing that I wanted to share with you, like I said, these are things that I've been through. Okay, so I'm just taking you where I have been. I keep reminding you of that. I'm just taking you where I have been. And the Lord said, well, he said, don't you have any value for what's here? And I didn't know what he meant. And then he said, well, you attend there. He said, you know, I said, well, it's not like I can go somewhere else. And he said, no, but he said, you know, you like it. And I said, yeah. He said, so you have value in it. And I said, yeah. He says, so it doesn't matter, does it? Well, no. Okay. He says, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Be excited about that. It's a good thing. Okay, so like I said, you know, he kind of works me over because my thinking isn't always what it should be. And it's a good thing. There are things that are happening here that you need to be excited about. There really are. And we're gonna go there. We're gonna address some of those things that are happening, and I'm just gonna get you more and more excited. You're gonna want to do more and more, okay? You would say, you know, what do you have here that would draw people to you? Well, the thing of it is that I believe that if we have the Spirit of God here, we will draw people. If we walk in unity, we will draw people. It's not necessarily about the things that we do. It's about the atmosphere that we have here. And if you like being here, and you have joy in your heart, and you have this attitude of, I'm not going to miss anything, it doesn't matter, because people are going to sense it when they come in, that this is just the greatest place to be. It's just a great place. It's just a great place. I want to be here too. So there's something to look at. You know, we have a great worship service. We do. We have a great worship service. It normally is, you know, I'm not up. I'm there. I'm there, and I like that chair. I really do. Especially this morning, I really like that chair. I'd like to use that chair. But, you know, we have music first. We have praise and worship first. And it, for the most part, it's always good. It's always good. Whether we have full band, which, how many years has it been? A couple years? Had a full band. And people up here. They even came up here. But then there were more of them, so they weren't afraid to be up here. Up here on the stage, and it was wonderful when it was here, and that was great, and that was where we were at. It was a season that we were at, but it's still wonderful. It's still, and it doesn't matter if it's a CD. If Loretta and Stephanie can't lead, and Ursula can't sing with them, we can do a CD, and it's still wonderful because the praise and worship isn't about us, is it? It's about Him. We've come to worship Him as a group, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing, and we need to be excited about it. The other thing is you don't know what the Lord is going to do. You really don't know. And a lot of times He doesn't tell you what He's going to do until you're here, which a lot of times I don't like that, because I'd sure like to know 2 weeks in advance, you know, so I can prep a little bit. But, you know, if we didn't even have a CD, we could go ahead and maybe somebody would just have a chorus song that we would sing, and we would just use our hands to clap. We could do that, couldn't we? We could do that. We used to do it years ago. That's all we had. We didn't have instruments. At home, you don't have that. You don't carry your worship band with you. Well, maybe some of you do because you have CDs, and so you can flip the TV on, or the CD on, and you got your full worship band. The Lord dealt with me about this, and it was really kind of funny what He said to me. He said, you know, He said, what do the underground churches do? And I thought, well, I don't know. I've never been to an underground church. And He said, well, generally, He said, they're coming to a gathering, and they're trying to come so that they're not noticed. Okay, they're being inconspicuous, so they're not gathering at one time. You know, one will come, and then another will come. He says, I really doubt that they're carrying instruments with them. You know, they're meeting in homes, or they're meeting in basements, or they're meeting out in the middle of the woods. He says, and they still worship me. See, it's about spirit and truth. It's not about the exterior stuff. Now, we would love it to have a full worship team. That would be great. We would go for that. One of the other things that the Lord challenged me on, and that was, He said, make sure that these things don't become idols in your life, where the thing becomes more important than Him. And I think that's really you know, who would think that praise and worship would become an idol? You know, worship team would become an idol. Who would think that? I would never think that. But I might have been getting kind of close, and that's why he shared it with me, that that's not the thing. Don't get your eyes on that. Okay? So let's talk about our messages. Aren't our messages great? Aren't they great here? Yeah. Pastor's a good teacher. He's very much a teacher. And he's taken some classes from Jack Hayford, and I noticed some of it's rubbing off on him. If you've ever listened to Jack Hayford makes a statement, and then he qualifies it, and he qualifies it, and he qualifies it, and he qualifies it. And by the fifth time he's qualified it, you've missed out on what he even started out with as a topic, because he's trying to give you the whole counsel of God at one time. And it's like, stop, I can't keep track of where you're going. And Roger spends a lot of time on his messages. He has lots and lots of scripture. And he's a good speaker. You're never going to get macaroni and cheese here. I mean, I'm not talking about homemade macaroni and cheese. I'm talking about, you know, the box macaroni and cheese, you know. You know, the pre-made stuff. You're not going to get that here. You're not going to get it here. The other thing is the Spirit of God moves among us. He walks among us. He moves on us. And I would encourage you to continue to stimulate that, to be anticipating that. I will challenge you with the fact that don't always rely on Pastor and myself and the few others that manifest spiritual gifts to be the only ones that do that. Start thinking about that yourself. When you have your own devotional time, pursue that. Really, really pursue that. Because it's wonderful when others do it, because we get a fuller picture. It's really good. It's really good. All right, Randy and Tammy, they lead our children's church. They do a great job with that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It's just wonderful. We have nursery, and Carrie and I, my daughter and I, we co-do that thing back there in that nursery. And it's a good thing. We need more help. Randy and Tammy need more help, and we need more help in the nursery. And it's just not a nursery where we babysit. We have a class, a children's class. Carrie does trains the teachers to be able to do the class, and we have all kinds of activities. We have stamps, and we have Play-Doh, and we have Play-Doh here, but Play-Doh was never allowed at my house. Play-Doh was never allowed at my house. If it came home as a birthday gift, take it outside, play with it, do not bring it back. Because it would end up in the carpet, and I couldn't get it out, and it was everywhere, it was in the clothes, and so. But we have Play-Doh here. So if you like Play-Doh, you can come play with Play-Doh. But we have good things. It's fun. It's fun. Wednesday nights is a hoot here. If you have not been, even if you just want to come and watch, it is a riot. I just love it. I'm usually in the nursery on Wednesday nights, and Corrine, who is in the nursery for me, so I could be here, she's in there. She leads the Wednesday night kids' Big City Studio, and she does a bang-up job, does she not, Paul? Yeah. She does a bang-up job, and she's got a little bit more help. So, like, you know, the more help you have, the more hands you have in the pot, the better the program, the more exciting the program is. Anyway, I'll just give you a little trip through the Big City Studio. They take one lesson, and they work it for a month. Okay, so four Wednesdays, you get the same lesson, but it's all different. The first week, you'll have to help me, Paul, if I don't get it quite straight. The first week is there's the Big City Studio characters, and there's a nerd. What's Audrey's name? Do you know? Do you remember? I can't. She's kind of a nerd. Yeah, she's a nerd. She puts her hair up in piggies, and you have to know Audrey's about this tall. Isn't your mom about this tall? Yeah. She's redhead. She's got long hair. She puts her hair up in piggies, and she's got jeans, and she's got them cuffed up. You know, and then she's got loafers on, and half the time she's went into the bathroom and she's stuck toilet paper on the heel of her shoe. So when she's walking, she's got this toilet paper trailing, and she's just the funnest character. Ashley helps also, and Ashley is the self-absorbed, self-centered, selfish movie star. Are you not? And she plays the character so well. Not that you're like that at all, but she plays this character so well. The first night that they had it, she had the most beautiful gown on. I wish Katie had been here. It was just beautiful, beautiful pageant or ball gown. And then she had this mask that was, didn't you say you got it in Italy? Oh, it was, I just went, oh, where did you get the mask? That's great. I don't know where else you would wear it. you know. But it was great. It was a great mask. It was black and white, wasn't it? Silver. It had a feather. I think it had a pearl here, too. Yeah. See, I'm visual. I'm a detailed person. Tomorrow I'll be able to tell you what you are. I will. I'll be able to tell you what you are. And so she's, what's your character's name?
Heather.
Heather. She just struts around like a peacock all the time. And she's trouble. You're the troublemaker. She's trouble. And then Paul is Joe Nitro. He's the stuntman, and he walks in with a leather jacket on and his blonde wig. It's really cute. He's really cute. He really is. He's really cute. And they go through this deal in front of the kids. The kids are just watching these adults just have this thing go on. The next week, they do the Bible story. And these same people, they dress up as Bible characters. Wednesday night, this last Wednesday night, it was Paul, Dorothy and Alvin, and Ashley. I watched them. They came down the hall. I was out here to do something. I can't remember what it was. And they came down the hall in their Old Testament garb. Okay, they'd been in the storage room. They got all dressed up, and they came walking out. And I started to laugh. You know, Ashley didn't have any hair. She had this thing wrapped around her head. All you could see was her face. And they marched in here, and they had the boat. I don't know if you've ever seen our boat. Did Joshua paint our boat? Joshua painted our boat, I think. It's great. And then it's got waves underneath it. Anyway, the story was Jesus is asleep in the boat. And our characters come up. Corrine's over here. She's narrating. Audrey's sitting here with two fans. Okay, two box fans. And they come up. And Paul, he lays down. You don't even see him because he's Jesus. He's asleep in the boat. And then you've got Alvin and Dorothy and Ashley. And Corrine starts to tell the story. She starts to narrate the story. Well, you know, they're supposed to go to the other side. And then the storm comes up, and so Audrey, she whips the fans on. So you get two box fans blowing at these guys. And then Corrine's got the kids doing thunder, like this, you know, there's thunder. And Ted's in the back, and he's flipping the light, so you got lightning, you know, he's off and on, off and on. And then Audrey runs across, and she's got a squirt bottle, and she's spraying them in the face to get them wet, you know, because it's a storm. And they're going, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care? And then all of a sudden, Dorothy stands up. Dorothy, wave your hand. Wave your hand. Dorothy stands up, and she's like, Jesus, don't you care? And she's jumping all over up here. You know, if it had been a real boat, she would have tipped the whole thing over. But it was, I stood back there, and I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed. And I thought, you know what? You're missing it. If you're not here, you're missing out on the fun that's here. Now, if you can't, well, first of all, it is such a wonderful, good program. You need to bring your neighbor kids. You really do. You need to bring your neighbor kids. And while you're here, when you bring your neighbor kids, if you need something to do, you can be a part of what's going on here. We do have the nursery that you can be involved in. You can, I'm losing my voice. Bev has a ladies group that meets. What do you have, about four ladies? They meet at the same time. The other thing is that if you can't do that or if you don't want to play a character, you can help Dorothy with snacks. Dorothy does snacks. When the lesson is done, the kids meet in the back at the tables, and then they have their discussion group and they have their snack. Healthy snack. Healthy snack is what we want. Healthy snacks. One word. No raisins. No raisins. This is how it goes. Okay, they get their little pile of animal crackers, and then they get the raisins. So they're shoving the animal crackers in their mouth. And then they pick up the raisins and say, I don't like raisins, and drop them on the floor. I don't like raisins, and drop them on the floor. Do you know how hard it was to clean up the raisins after we were done? They were stuck to the floor, and what made it worse is by the time Pastor and I got home, I was scraping raisins off the bottom of my shoes, and he's got deep tread in the bottom of his shoes. You know, they're just awful. Pick up everything. He was having to scoop them out because they were just packed with raisins. So no raisins, okay? The rest of the snacks are good. No raisins. Okay, so we have a ladies group. We have nursery. You could come and help in the nursery. We could use a couple of guys. We have all boys in there. Well, no, we have Bella in there too. Bella's perfectly content to have people read her stories. She really is. She's perfectly content with that. Zane is not content with just reading stories. It's not going to work. Am I right? Yeah. Am I right? Okay, he needs a man because they need to take the tiny tot cars and smash them together, you know, bang, bang, you know, crash. Isn't that? Yeah, he likes to do that. Or throw a ball or chase or something like that. And Kim and I, we're just exhausted. We're just exhausted. So yeah, we could use some help. We do have a parenting class. I think they will start that up the end of this month, I think. I think they took a break from that because Wendy is gone. There's also help at the youth center. Oh my gosh, isn't that true, Cheryl? Help at the youth center. How many kids do you run? 20, 25? Yeah, you never know. You never know. But yeah, they have their hands full. These kids are needy, very, very needy. And they could use your help. And sometimes all it is all you are, you just need to be an ear to listen to what they're going through. You don't necessarily have to have the answers for them. That's not necessarily important at this point. It's just being able to listen and be there, be a person that they can touch. That kind of thing. And there's, again, I made mention of it, that there's, you can help provide food for that, meals for that as well. And those their sign-up sheets back there. We also have, a big, large event, which is our sportsman event, our game feed, and that's coming up here in March. What's the date on that? Do you know?
23rd.
Charlie's not here, or he would be yelling at the top of his lungs, because he's excited. He's really excited. And in fact, you met with a speaker, didn't you, this week? Not yet. Okay. And I think the guy does the bow and arrow thing. I know nothing about that kind of stuff. He's the bow and arrow guy. Okay. He's the one that's coming as a guest speaker. We pack this place out with people. We invite, we sell tickets. They feed them a wonderful meal. What's on the meal docket? Paul does the meal, actually. What more could you ask for, right? Yeah, yeah. And then they throw in some weird stuff, too. I don't eat the food, okay? In fact, how many years have we been doing this? Is this going to be? This will be the fourth year. This room gets transformed. It's like wilderness up here. They've got a taxidermist that comes and brings the animals and the stuff. And it's all over up here. It's quite amazing. And then outside in the entryway, they have vendors. Isn't that right? Don't you have some vendors come in? And it's just amazing. I have not participated. It was like, there's one thing I don't have to do. It's just great. And then, what? I'm getting there. The Lord shared with me. He said, people are receiving the Lord. And people are being ministered to. And he said, and you have no idea what's going on because you're not there. And I thought, well, you know, you vacillate. You know, some days you have a bad attitude and some days you have a good attitude. And that day I happened to think, well, you know, do I care? And that is a bad attitude. That is a bad attitude. You can't have that attitude. You really can't. You need to care. And it was probably one of those days where I hadn't spent enough time to, you know, to get things right. But anyway, the Lord shared with me, he says, and I said, well, I'm not interested in coming to eat. And I've got this thing, I grew up with this thing, where those who provide the food, they eat last, so you make sure that you have enough food. Because if you don't have enough food, at least, you know, I'm not eating. I'm not taking the food. Sorry about that. So I wasn't interested in the food. And we actually, this gets full enough that sometimes we don't have room for us folks to be able to be in here because it gets full enough. And that's okay. That wasn't important to me. And he said, well, you could come and help clean up because it takes a long time to clean up after that thing. Let me tell you. You know, thank goodness they do a lot of the stuff in aluminum pans that can just be thrown in the trash. Thank you for that. So last year I said, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to help clean up. So when they were done with the meal, I came. There were some that were still eating and I just started helping clean up. Now, the problem with not having been involved prior to this, I tried prior to the game feed. They use the nursery for eating, for tables. I had tried to move everything to clean that out so that they would have room to set up. Wrong. The guys already know where they want to put stuff, so don't you be putting stuff. I got told, don't you be putting stuff. We know where we want it. So it was like, okay, you just leave your hands out of stuff that you're not supposed to be in. But I could come and I could help clean. And actually, we had a great time. We did not have to come back Saturday morning and clean. We were done by 11. So there you go. More hands make the job easier. Isn't that what your mother always told you? More hands, more hands. We also have the motorcycle rally in September. Is that right? Third Sunday in September. And we have unusual people that come. Unusual. And it's great, and I love it. I just absolutely love it to watch the long ponytails walk in and the leather vests. And it's great. I really do. I really love it. And then we have Mike Hazeltine. Did I say it right? Hazeltine. He's a pastor from Forest Lake. Is that right? He comes in. He has no hair. He has no hair. He's bald. He fits. And he drives his Harley motorcycle in that door and up here and parks it over here. And then you get to smell exhaust for a little bit, but then you're okay. And he speaks, and he is a riot. Is he not? Is he not? A little raw at times, if I must say myself. You know, I'm a little innocent. But, you know, he's speaking to a different crowd. So he's funny. He's quite funny. He turned 50, and so he had 50 jokes, 50-year-old jokes. They were not good. My daughter's boyfriend, he doesn't show much excitement, emotion, unless he's on the football field, of course. But, you know, if you tell a joke and he thinks it's funny, he goes, You know, it's that kind of thing. He was back there. He was just rolling with the stuff that this guy, does anybody remember some of his jokes? Yeah, we are going to say them today. We're going to say them. Okay, so we have great things here, and you're not going to want to miss out. You're just not going to want to miss out. The other thing that I want to share with you is that we've got the property sitting down here at the other end. If, as you come off of old 56, whatever you call it now, if you come off the highway and come down this street, there's a row of pine trees, and we have that property there. It's sitting there. It was given to us, and that's a great thing. And we're going to build on that.
Your revivals were great, too. I got saved the whole week.
There you go. We had revival. We had tent revivals back in the day, when I was much younger and could do a lot more. We had tent revivals over there. But we're going to build on that. We're going to build on that, okay? This is just a stepping stone to get there, okay? But we're going to get there. We're going to get there because there are exciting things happening here, and you're not going to you're not going to want to miss it. Okay, I could share more about the property, but Roger told me I couldn't, so I won't. I think I know why, but he said no. I couldn't share more. Well, part of it is that he says if I'm going to share it, I need to have what the Lord said, and I don't have exactly what the Lord said, so, all right, so, we'll leave it at that, okay? Now, I want to talk just a little bit about your workplace, because are you not children of light? Yeah. If the King lives in you, you're children of light, right? Okay, so, if you have light, and your workplace is darkness, what does the light do to the darkness? That's right, it dispels the darkness. There are lots of people in your workplace that need your encouragement. They need your kindness. They don't need your stuffiness. They don't need you doing this necessarily. Some of them will want this eventually. But you have to build trust, and you have to build care, and not think less of them. And you will meet lots of people whose lives are a mess. Two, 3 years ago, I'm still a creative memories consultant, but I consult for myself. I do just enough to you know, get the products at cost because I just like it. But I used to work the business, as they used to say. I used to work it. I used to put lots of time. I would call people, make lots of phone calls. I would keep track of my inventory, figure out how I was going to market this inventory, you know, set up classes, set up workshops. You know the thing, if you're self-employed, what you need to do to run your business, to work your business. And I tell you what, I think I spent more time on the phone visiting with women, giving them counsel, having compassion on them, telling them what I thought they would do or what I would do in their situation, talking to them about husbands that mistreated them, talking to them about this, that, and the other thing, more than I ever sold product. You know, if we were going to put it on a scale, I didn't sell nothing compared to the amount of time that I spent on the phone. And these gals liked me. You know how amazing that is? They liked me. They started inviting me to baby showers and to bridal showers. I just thought that was neat. All I was providing them scrapbook material, you know what? But they liked me. They really did. I like that. They liked me. So anyway, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in church we have mentorship. You know, you find someone that you want to meet with or a couple of people that you want to meet with, and they help you to grow. They help you keep you on track. They help challenge you. You know, they help you in finding a place to study in your Bible, all those kinds of things. Those are good. But you can do that out in the workforce. You just do it a little differently. Because by your acts, your kindness and your compassion, you lead people to the Lord. They get a trust in you, and then you can start really sharing with them. But you've got to take the time to do it, and you've got to be aware that you're doing it. Because a lot of times, you know, we just do our job. You know, we just do our job. I do. I get up at 5:30 in the morning. Ted, where are you? Ted's there. We were discussing this morning. I work over at 10 Loretta's. And I get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I don't brush my teeth, and I don't brush my hair. And all I do, I put on a pair of sweatpants, and I put a sweatshirt over, and I go get myself a cup of hot water because my stomach doesn't like coffee and it really doesn't care for tea, but I like hot. So I cook myself a cup of hot water and I walk out the door and I drive over to Casson and I walk in and I speak to no one. Do I speak to you, Ted?
Not much.
Not much. I speak to no one and I go in and I wrap wires. They have a medical needle business and I wrap wires for about an hour and a half. Something like that. Anyway, I wrap wires. I just, you know, grab them and you just wrap them. And I'm the type of person where I like quiet in the morning. I like about a good hour. Yeah, I like a good hour. I don't want to speak to anyone. I had problems with that when I had children because as soon as they wake up, they're talking and they need you. But I need this hour. So why was I going there? Why was I telling you this? I have no idea why I was telling you this. What? Oh, just going through the motions. Thank you, Stephanie. And I do that. When I work over there, I go through the motions. I just go through the motions. When I worked at a hospital, can I tell you this? I won't tell you where I worked. When I worked at a hospital, you know, you go into a hospital and these people are to care for you. Are they not? You want them to care for you. You don't feel good or you've got problems and you want them to care for you. Well, after a time, when I worked at this is what I perceived. At my young age of 19. I worked there when I was 19 and 20. It got so it was a job. And I worked the PM shift, which was all the young people. The middle-agers worked the morning shift. The really old people worked the night shift. And they were crabby and they were ugly. And you did not talk to them unless you had to. That was kind of the way it was. So we were the kids. I think the oldest person there was probably 30 years old. The charge was older than that. But, and we would have a blast. But the thing that was so irritating was when somebody brought their child in when it was just about time for us to leave our shift. They would bring their child in. So we would get off at... How did it work? 3 to 11. Okay, so we were supposed to be off at 11. Somebody would bring their child in at 10:30. You know what that meant? That meant everybody had to stay until that child was admitted or that thing was done because you knew that the night people, they weren't going to do it because we're not on until 11, so we're not going to do it. See, and the thing of it was is that they became crabby, and this person who needed their help meant nothing. It was a job. We're just doing the job. And you don't want to go to your job just doing your job. Okay, now I can go to my job and I can just do my job because I'm only the person there. I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have to be kind. Yet. I get kind. So anyway, consider that when you're working with people in your work environment, that you want to dispel darkness when you're there. The word says that the acts of God's kindness are what lead men to repentance. So we need to be a good example of kindness. Okay, I'm just about done. I'm going to share one more thing with you. Is that right? I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I've got something I want to read here, and it's out of the Message Bible. It's just a couple of verses above what we already read, so you don't have to move anywhere. It's in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23, and I'm going to read it out of the Message paraphrase. I love the Message Bible. I can understand it. It's wonderful. It says, "Even though I am free of the demands and the expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and to all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious people, non-religious people, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever, doesn't matter. I didn't take on their way of life." Remember that. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempt to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Okay, I have one more thing I want to share. Gentlemen. And this is the last thing. And this is another message from the Lord. And these things you might not need these kinds of things. Everybody's different as to what promotes and stimulates you spiritually. Everybody has something different. Stephanie, I think, is stimulated spiritually through music. Wouldn't you say? It's music. My husband is really moved and stirred by reading. He loves to read. But I'm one that I need just a little bit more help. I need just a little bit more encouragement. And so, like I said, I take these words of the Lord and I type them up and I stick them in my journal and I read them and I pray about them. And this is one that's really, really neat. This came on Sunday, May 31st of last year. It says, "As you honor me and as you do raise your voices and your hearts, and as you do raise your hands with your hearts to me, then know more things will be opening up to you." Do you see the then? You see, if you do this, then, okay? "In the days to come, as it draws near to the time of the return of Jesus Christ, more doors of opportunity will open up to you." Doors of opportunity will open up to you. "And you shall be able to walk through those doors." There it is again. "If you can perceive them." That means you have to be awake. It means you have to be looking for it. You have to have an attitude of, "I don't want to miss out," because you have to perceive them. "If you are waiting for the opportunities and ready for the opportunities and ready to share the hope that is in you, you will be able to step through those doors I open up to you. There will be times of opportunity that you will not want to miss because it will interject you into a new dimension," says the Lord. I want to be there. I want to go up, don't you? It says we grow from glory to glory. Well, I want to go up. I want to have more. I want to have more. "A new dimension of walking in my spirit like you've not experienced before. But be careful," says the Lord your God. "Be careful to follow after me. Be careful to continue to lift up my name in praise and not lift up other things in praise. Do not put other things before me," says the Lord your God. "Be careful to walk in the spirit and be careful to look for the open doors of opportunity. And I shall have for you, that I shall have for you, so that you can walk in that dimension," says the Lord your God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just stir by your Spirit, stir in us, the desires that you want us to have. Encourage us, Father, in the things that we do in our daily life. Father, our daily lives can get so draining, and there's so much to do and so much to care for, and the list goes on and on and on of those things. But Father, help us, speak to us, draw us, so that we will give appropriate time to you, because we want to be excited to be in your presence. We want to anticipate what you will do. Father, we're excited about the things that you're doing here at Praise Fellowship. Oh, Father, it makes me want to squeal a little bit and jump around a little bit. Father, we're just so looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the day when we'll be able to put that building up on the corner. Father, I do know that you said it would go up for your glory. I don't even know how that's going to happen. I have no idea, but you do. And we anticipate that. We anticipate bringing more people here, that you would draw them, Father. And then we'll do our part. When you bring them, we'll do our part. We'll train and we'll teach and we'll care and we'll share and we'll get them where they need to be. We'll plug them in and get them to be a part of the body here. Father, we'll do our part. We'll be faithful. We'll be faithful. Father, we look forward to those open doors. We really do. We look forward to them. Father, help us in our perceiving. Oh, yes, help us in our perceiving. Oh, Lord. Lord, it's been good. It's been good to be here. Father, I know it's hard for me to be up here in front, but it has been good, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for these gracious people. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, are you stirred?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to miss out. Okay, you are dismissed. We got some music there, Steve.